This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell. Yep. All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. Brandon House in for Mike Lindell, who is probably just minutes away from taping, live to tape, for Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Are you going to have some big watch parties? It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Yeah, go Mike Lindell. All right, going to join me tonight is going to be Garland Favorito. And Logan, will you get that clip, please, of Jesse Ventura? Will you get that clip I played today? I want to play that tonight. Thomas? Are any of you guys listening to me in there? In the control room? The Ventura clip. I want to play that real quick. Let me know when you got that ready. I want to play it. We're going to talk tonight about, a few things. Breaking news with Garland Favorito out of Georgia. And then I want to ask a question. Has the CIA been involved? Has the CIA been involved? Or does the CIA know of the intelligence community being involved in hacking America's elections? You can call it hacking, stealing, manipulating, whatever you want to call it. Has the CIA been involved, or do they know of intelligence agencies or rogue intelligence agencies and individuals that have been involved in the stealing of American elections? Now, many believe that the CIA is involved or was involved in murdering a sitting president, John F. Kennedy. Many believe that, including the president's nephew, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So if you would assassinate a sitting president in broad daylight on film in 1963, would you not steal a U.S. election in 2020? Do you think the crimes of the Central Intelligence Agency and or the intelligence community have emboldened them to commit more crimes? What do you find is human nature? When criminals get away with crimes, does it embolden them to commit more crimes and more crimes and more crimes? I have been asking for some time whether or not the elections of 2020 were stolen by the intelligence community because, well, having a front row seat, thanks to Mike Lindell, I've had the opportunity to talk to many, many people with many very concerning stories that lead me to believe, yes, our intelligence arena, rogue or otherwise, have been involved in the theft of American elections. Tonight, we'll talk to Garland Favorito about what he's got breaking out of Georgia. And then I'm going to go to some letters. Here's one written November 13th, 2020. Dear Mr. Attorney General, from the Congress of the United States letterhead, and it is signed by Louis Gohmert, CC John Ratcliffe, Director of National Intelligence. I have another one here. Dear Attorney General, signed November 6th, and on and on and on. And I particularly found interesting today in my research a letter dated December 10th, 2020, by United States Congressman Bill Posey out of Florida. It was a letter to the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Gina Haspel, and the Honorable John Ratcliffe, Director, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, asking if the CIA knew, about any threats to our voting systems in America that could be used to steal the election. The CIA has been silent. We're going to talk about that right now and then go to Garland's breaking story. Garland, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Brandon, thank you for having me. It's always wonderful to be on with you. I think you're onto something regarding the CIA's.
Well, I was going to go to your story first and then this, but I've already set this up, and so let's go to this. Then we'll go to your story out of Georgia. I've been working on this and researching on this now for almost 2 years, my belief that the Central Intelligence Agency, the NSA, some of these groups were involved in voter theft. In October of last year, Mike Lindell was at the news desk from the stage at my 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I made the comment to the audience, and it's on film, and maybe we can find it and play it. But I made the comment to Mike and the audience that I believe the intelligence arena has practiced color revolutions overseas. Color revolutions. Giving the appearance that all is good and well and people are electing who they want. But when reality is, our intelligence arena will have their thumb on the scale and be choosing who they want. And I believe this has been done throughout history. Sometimes maybe it's to get rid of a communist leader or make sure a communist leader doesn't come to power that might pose a threat to our national security.
Mm-hmm.
And our intelligence agencies looking out for the best interest of America and our national security would put their thumb on the scale. I'm not going to complain about some communist dictator having his election stolen from him. I'm not going to, so that he can't persecute, prosecute, and kill his fellow citizens. I'm not going to complain about that. But have we seen a change in our intelligence arena from the white hats to the black hats, from the anti-communist to the pro-communist? Have we seen color revolutions practiced overseas and the falling of good people like, well, let's say recently in Brazil, Bolsonaro in Brazil for the installment of a man that is a communist, Lula? And has our CIA practiced these types of things overseas for a while and then finally turned it on America in the summer of 2020? I am on record warning over and over in the summer of 2020 on my broadcast, before we even launched Lindell TV, before I even knew Mike Lindell, I was warning with others about a color revolution coming to America. That was the summer and fall of 2020. I believe that color revolution happened. I believe the intelligence arena is involved. Now, I said all of that on the platform, at the news desk, on the stage, at my Ozarks Worldview Weekend, October of last year, 2022. The next day, I was approached by someone that I know and have known for 15 years or more, but probably a good 15 years. This individual worked and recently retired for one of the big three intelligence agencies. The individual I have known for a while, like I said, 15 years. Trust them impeccably. Approached me and said, thank you for your comments about the practice of a color revolution overseas and then being carried out in America by the intelligence arena. I want you to know, when you said that, I chuckled. Not because you're wrong, but because you are more right than you even know. You are so over the target, I had to chuckle, that you and others are figuring this out, and thank God you are. You are so over the target, you have no idea. That's all I can say. I cannot say anymore because of my background, things I was read into, and I'm not interested in going to jail. But what I can tell you is you should keep on that line of thought and thinking and investigation. I know the agency this person worked for, and I know what they did. I know they would be likely in a strong position to know what I was saying was true if it were. And when they said you're over the target more than you know, I took that very seriously. I began to hear from other people in the last 2 years from the intelligence arena, retired and high-ranking military, that keep independently saying the same thing to me. Before I share with you what I have found today, what are your thoughts so far, Garland?
Well, Brennan, I can add several things to what you're saying. Of course, I've been convinced for some time that all of this talk about no election fraud are coming from CIA media assets. They use explicitly keywords election denier. They use fake electors. They use baseless claims. There's five or six keywords that they use. In fact, we talked a little bit about this on your show. I was on the Kennedy assassination anniversary on November the 22nd. I have found out a little bit more since the last time we talked and we did that show. We talked about the CIA media assets and we played the little church committee video. We've got those. There's two. There's one for that Logan has for the church committee, in which the CIA admits into Congress that they use media assets. The church committee found that they had over 200. And then I also have a clip, if you want to play it, about a 1 minute clip of the CBS president, Sid Mickelson, at the time, also acknowledging that the CIA was basically using journalists in at CBS at that time.
I know. I'm very familiar with both of these clips. Let's play the first one. We got two clips he's just set up there. Logan, let's play the first one, please. All right, we'll go the.
Yeah, Logan, they're in the Dropbox right, link that I sent you.
Yeah, just go with the one you have right now. That's fine.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them. I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
Would you say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
Wow. Now, I've seen that and played that, but it's great to bring that forward for, I needed to be reminded of it, and some of our audience have seen it probably, and some of them have never seen it. So thank you for sending that. We'll get ready to play the second one. You know, it'd be one thing if the white hats in the CIA were going to members of the media and saying, hey, look, you're patriotic. You want to defend America. You're anti-communist. We have liberals in Congress. We have liberals in the media. We have liberals in Hollywood that are making movies trying to portray the communist as our friend. We have communists who have penetrated the religious, the legislative, the entertainment industry. And they are trying to portray our cause and our fight against communism as a bad thing. Would you be willing to write the truth? I would have no problem if our intelligence arena, in the quest to fight communism, asked some journalist to please write the truth about communism. I would have no problem with them urging that. That, to me, would be a perfect role for the media and our intelligence arena to say we need to brief the American people on the threat we're facing. The same way our government and media should be briefing us right now on the serious threat and the preparation for war by China. But they're not doing that. They're doing the opposite, trying to convince us that China is our friend. So I guess what I'm saying, Garland, is if the goal was to use the media to counter the lies and propaganda of the pro-communists, okay. But I think today, and maybe even then, they're using it for the pro-communist, anti-American, pro-globalist agenda.
And that's exactly it, Brannon. And it started out, it may have started out exactly as you said, but basically the CIA's gotten out of control.
Absolutely.
And they have migrated over and are now really, they seem to be enemies of the American people and the American principles upon which we were founded. Just to add a couple of things, Logan's got the CIA media assets PowerPoint slides I sent him, and there's a couple of things I think we could add to what you're saying, Brannon. If Logan can put up like the first of those four slides, perfect. Let's recap. We did this on your show in November, but we're probably going to need to keep doing this for a while. But The CIA was created in 1947 by the National Security Act. That was drafted by Clark Clifford. He was a Wall Street lawyer, and he was eventually indicted in the BCCI scandal, Bank of Credit, Commerce and Credit. So that basically the CIA really was set up by Wall Street for Wall Street's interests, not for the American people's interests. And Alan Dulles, as you know well, you've talked about him on your show, was the CIA director in 53. He was also a Wall Street lawyer. Many other CIA directors come from Wall Street, not from any kind of patriotic American organizations. The CIA is essentially an arm of Wall Street. And I see you've got that church committee clip lined up, so I can either continue. Maybe we should show that first, and then I've got some new news in regards to the CIA we can add on to top of that clip.
All right, let's go to that next clip.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Do you remember how he died?
Yes, he was in a fishing boat accident, if I recall correctly. He's quite very suspicious circumstances. Just allegedly, his boat turned over and he drowned out in a lake somewhere near his house.
Yes.
Very
suspicious. Here is
extremely
the
suspicious.
Associated Press, May 6, 1996. William Colby, man of contradictions, found dead at 76. William E. Colby, a professional spy and man of contradictions. He was denounced as a war criminal over the CIA assassinations in Vietnam, but he was fired as the CIA director after advocating a retreat from cloak and dagger operations. Well, isn't that interesting? Apparently, he was saying maybe the CIA should be a little more transparent. The contradictions followed him to the end. He was an avid outdoorsman, but he died, apparently by drowning while canoeing on a familiar river. He was 76. Colby's body was found washed up Monday on a sandbar of the Wicomico River, not far from his Southern Maryland vacation home, 8 days after his empty canoe was found nearby. State officials said there was no sign of foul play. Huh. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think he was actually wanting to expose some of the operations. And he went on to say there that the Cold War threat is no longer anywhere near what it was 10 or 20 years earlier than there. So I think that he wanted to come forward and probably did an executive session. And that's how the church committee found out they had 200 media assets. But the thing I think we can add to this, and we talked about this once on your show, is if you think that that was 1975 and not now, Logan can go to slide two, we can fast forward all the way up to 1996 and even beyond, actually all the way up to 2016, where this operation called CIA Mockingbird's operation, Operation Mockingbird, and I know you're really familiar with that, Brandon, but this apparently was still in existence in 2017. The German editor, Udolf Ofcott, wrote a book in German, Journalists for Hire, and he exposes how the CIA buys the news. And that first came out in 2014, when the English version was supposed to be released in 2017. In May, Offcott was found dead of a heart attack in January at 56 years old, before that English version was ever released. However, I have some good news for you, Brannon, that we didn't have. I didn't know in November. We were up in D.C., and I went to the Library of Congress, and on slide 3, we, with the help of researchers, I found out that this book was picked up and translated by another author. There you go, slide 3. And it was renamed. This is still Offcott's book. And a gentleman named Andrew Schleidman translated the German bestselling book into English after his death. It's now got a new name called Prestitutes, Embedded in the Pay of the CIA. And that is Dr. Offcott's original writing. And it's available on anywhere you pretty much want to go, Barnes & Noble, Books, Amazon or anything else. So this is available now to prove a lot of what you're saying, particularly in regards to the media. And one of Offcott's really biggest issues that caused him to go public was the fact that the CIA was leading the Europeans into a war, particularly in regards to Ukraine, in which that he felt was completely unjustified and immoral. So hats off to him for exposing this. And fortunately, I guess Andrew Schleidman got the rights to do this. And this book is now available in English in America.
Excellent. Now, I would now like to go to a video of former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. I'm not endorsing everything Jesse Ventura has ever said or done. I'm sure he wouldn't endorse everything I've ever said and done. In other words, I would have some pretty big disagreements with Jesse Ventura on several things. But interesting enough, some of the things that people thought Jesse Ventura was saying that were out there on his conspiracy theory TV series, some of them have turned out to be true now. Some of the things we were writing about years ago, people thought was conspiracy theory. Well, after COVID, they now realize it's true. So this is not an endorsement of everything that Jesse Ventura has ever said or done. And I have no reason to believe that what Jesse Ventura is about to say in this video I'm going to play is not true, because it, quite frankly, is consistent with what I have been told by credible people and have even shared on this broadcast before, and that is reports by credible people that the CIA has penetrated every state capital in America. Now, I've known that, and I've talked about that openly on the air for some time. With that being said, I don't know if you've seen this before or not, Garland, but watch what former governor of Minnesota Jesse Ventura says about the CIA at the state capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota.
You know the CIA is implanted in your state government?
No.
So they're violating their mission statement. Well, in Minnesota, only the governor and the chief of staff are aware of it. That there's an implanted CIA person in Minnesota government at a level to where he doesn't come and go with elections. It's a permanent position. Why? 1 month after I took office, I was requested to the basement of the Capitol, where I was interrogated by 23 members of the Central Intelligence Agency, and I was the governor. And they put me in a chair at the end, and they were in a big half circle around me. And when I thought back to the questioning, it was all about how I got elected. He was right on. They wanted to know what I did. I don't know, maybe to stop it from ever happening again.
I'm pretty good at studying body language, and I'm studying his face and his eyes. I have no reason to believe that what he is saying is not true. And it seems consistent with what I've been told by other people about the CIA penetrating our state governments. Interesting enough, this is exactly what President Andrew Jackson from the great state of Tennessee warned about in his farewell address, March 4th, 1837. He warned about a government that would grow beyond the constitutional bounds through taxing the people, and that they would eventually find their way into penetrating the state governments until the state and federal or central governments were really one in the same. Isn't it interesting today, Garland, so often when we talk about the government, we never differentiate between state governments, local government, federal government. We just say the government. Well, Andrew Jackson warned this consolidation would happen. If what Jesse Ventura is saying there is true, well, it's proof of the prophetic words of Andrew Jackson. But it also is another piece of the puzzle that shows us that indeed the CIA, our intelligence community in America, has had a keen interest in controlling elections and quite upset or concerned when things don't go the way maybe they had wanted them to go. What do you make of that video we just played?
Well, I can fast forward it to just last year, Brandon, when Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan blocked Senate Bill 89, which would have made ballots and public record, and it would have provided a chain of custody for elections. Lieutenant Governor, I'm convinced really beyond any of shadow of a doubt that Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan was in fact a CIA asset. And the reason I say that is for several reasons. First of all, he had no reason at all, to go against the entire Republican unanimous majority in both House and the Senate to block that bill, him being a Republican. But then he went, later on, he went on Anderson Cooper to claim that Herschel Walker was just a horrible candidate, worst candidate Republicans ever had. Anderson Cooper was outed in Dr. Olfcott's book as a CIA media asset. Anderson Cooper also was the one who had the famous Syrian Danny episode on his show, where they staged a bombing in Syria to make it look like Assad's people were attacking the area where they were filming. It was a complete hoax. It was designed to create war, and it was completely consistent with Dr. Olfcott's his book. So I think it's still going on today, and I think you really are onto something. Hopefully, now Jeff Duncan is gone. He is no longer in the House. He decided not to run, or in the Senate. We've got a guy who I think is a lot more trustworthy, Burt Jones, was endorsed by former President Donald Trump. And things are looking completely different in the Senate than they looked last year, because I think we have gotten him removed finally once and for all.
Has anyone done a deep dive on the voting machine companies and their employees and founders and executives and former executives to see if any of them have CIA, FBI, NSA backgrounds, or another agency most Americans are not aware of, the National Reconnaissance Organization?
Yeah, that's another good point. I'm not aware of that, Brandon, but we had some strange situations. For example, Dominion, which simply came out of nowhere as a Canadian-based company. They had no election experience whatsoever, never manufactured a voting machine or anything else. And then suddenly they acquire Sequoia from Smartmatic, and then they become a voting machine vendor. They get the intellectual property from Diebold, which was formerly Global Election Systems, which we believe had what we call fraction magic, an algorithm to cheat on elections. We can't prove that because all these machines are proprietary, as you know. That's a suspicious company that came out of nowhere and has a lot of strange ties in their board. But to answer your question, the answer is really no. There is no, I don't think anybody's really done a deep dive on the voting machine vendors to see about their CIA assets.
Well, I know some guys that are pretty high up in the retired community of the intel. Maybe I could point them to start doing that. I also wonder if anyone could subpoena some of these guys and start putting them under depositions.
Well, you know, that's the exciting part of this, Brandon. Now that the House, and there really was a red wave in the House as the Republicans took over from by the same majority that the Democrats had before. And now I was so happy to see that they basically stalled and ensured that they got some good things out of Kevin McCarthy before voting for him for Speaker. And one of those things was to establish a church-style committee to look at the intelligence agencies and determine if they were weaponizing the government to be used against people who are and politicians and candidates who represent the values that we have as individual citizens.
Let me direct your attention to a letter in my research I discovered today, dated December 10th, 2020. This is to the Inspector General and to the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. It is coming from the office here at the bottom, Bill Posey, Member of Congress. You can see it CC'd there to Gina Haspel, Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the Honorable John Ratcliffe, Director, Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Mr. Bill Posey is a representative. His district is in Florida. This is what he writes, December 10th, 2020. Dear Inspector General, I'm writing concerning troubling reports involving election software and hardware with foreign connections that were used during the 2020 general election. Many of our nation's leading experts in mathematics, computer science, and statistics are already finding anomalies when analyzing the data from states who use this software and hardware. These anomalies coincide with the reports of votes being switched or deleted entirely during some state officials that some state officials have described as only as, quote, glitches, end quote, or clerical errors. States in question concerning these software anomalies is used. What is that? What's the word there? Software. What is that word? Anomalies. Okay.
Anomalies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anomalies. Thank you. Use Dominion voting systems. According to the Washington Times, the election software used in Dominion equipment has corporate origins that can be traced back to Smartmatic Corporation. My understanding is that the origins of Smartmatic began in Venezuela under the regime of Hugo Chavez. The election software was used for the presidential elections that President Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro won. In each of these elections, opposition parties claim that fraud occurred. In fact, a 2013 U.S. Department of State country report on Venezuela states in the executive summary that, quote, authorities announced that Nicolas Maduro had won the presidency April 14, 2013, by a 1.49% margin amid allegations of pre- and post-election fraud based on a number of irregularities, including government interference, the use of state resources by the ruling party, and voter manipulation, end quote. Furthermore, in a recent sworn affidavit filed with a Georgia election lawsuit, a key witness describes firsthand accounts of how Hugo Chavez asked Smartmatic to design a new election system for Venezuela and, quote, was most insistent that Smartmatic design the system in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected, end quote. I understand that Smartmatic went on to participate in every Venezuelan election until 2018. The witness goes on to state that in the 2013 election, the, quote, Smartmatic electoral management system was used to manipulate and change the results for the person to succeed Hugo Chavez, end quote. It is concerning that the creation of such a system could have circumvented the will of the Venezuelan people and contributed to keeping Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro in power while their people suffered greatly. Another software program used for reporting election results is, how do you say that? Is that CIDL? How do you say that?
Yes, CIDL. That's correct.
CIDL. I know you and I have talked about that before. CIDL's yes. Clarity Elections election night reporting system. Clarity is used by the news media for vote counting and reporting results. According to CIDL's website, the Clarity service is provided for 28 states. In 2019, there were reports of alleged anomalies of Clarity's reporting during the gubernatorial race in Kentucky. During a CNN broadcast of the race, there appeared to be a decrease of 560 votes for the Republican candidate and an increase of 560 votes in favor of the Democratic candidate. is just one example identified of votes decreasing for the Republican candidate using that system. It's also worth noting that the corporate headquarters for both companies are located outside the United States. Dominion Voting Systems is located in Toronto, Canada, and Seidel's headquarters is located in Barcelona, Spain. Our nation's elections should not be dependent on software and voting machines supplied from foreign companies. This arrangement does little to reassure the American people about foreign interference in our elections, and we should make it a priority to demand that American votes be counted using equipment made by American companies. Knowing of this origins of Smartmatic software, was the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, aware of its use in Dominion equipment during previous U.S. elections and the 2020 general election? Question mark. If so, did the CIA report the vulnerabilities of this software to other federal agencies or states? Question mark. Has the Inspector General's office conducted a national security investigation on the CIA's connection, if any, with Smartmatic, Seidel, or any other company associated with election software or hardware? Question mark. Did foreign actors interfere in our election in states that used this questionable software? Question mark. And finally, please provide all relevant documents that deal with the questions above. The citizens of the United States need assurance that a free and fair election occurred without a legitimate investigation by the CIA and the Inspector General. The outcome of the election results will be questioned by many Americans. Therefore, I urge you to fully investigate the CIA's role involving these election companies. The best way to ensure confidence in our elections is through greater transparency. To instill such confidence, the CIA and Inspector General must fully investigate all allegations of widespread and systematic election fraud within their areas of jurisdiction. Are you currently conducting any such investigations? Question mark. If so, when can Congress expect a report on such investigations with such a closely divided nation? Americans need to be assured that their government is listening to their concerns and places a high priority on ensuring transparent and fair elections. Thank you for your attention to my request. I look forward to your response. Stumbling on this letter today in my research, I called the office of Congressman Bill Posey. I talked to two staffers. They actually were so helpful, they conferenced in another one. And they have provided me with more information and more letters that are open to the public. And to date, I am told the CIA has refused to answer the sitting member of the U.S. Congress concerning these questions. And note again, he wants to specifically know if the CIA is aware. Did foreign actors interfere in our elections and the states use this questionable software? He wants to know. To instill such confidence, the CIA and Inspector General must fully investigate all allegations of widespread and systematic election fraud. Are you currently conducting any investigations? If so, when can Congress expect a report? But he's asking here, do we know of any CIA connection to these companies? Don't you find it interesting that he's asking that?
Absolutely.
Have you seen this letter before?
No, I have never seen that letter, Brandon, and it's fascinating. And I'm really glad that members of Congress are asking these questions, and hopefully we'll get some answers with this new committee that I believe Jim Jordan is chairing. It seems like they have all the right people on there to get some real truth out. But I think it's fantastic. And there certainly is a connection between the CIA and the 2020 election because, see if Logan can throw up a slide four.
Go to slide four, and before you go to...
If you don't mind. And just, I want to just restate the fact that all these lies that we're hearing and all these terms that the media is using consistently, like mockingbirds, trying to claim that there is no fraud, errors, and elections, they're all coming, I believe, from the Operation Mockingbird still in effect. Yeah, that was it. fake electors, debunk the big lie, baseless claims, conspiracy theorists, election deniers.
Go back to the slide, guys.
These are all terms. These are all terms that are coming, I believe, from the CIA.
Well, who created the word? Who invented the word conspiracy theory? Do you know? And do you know when they invented that word?
I think it's been around for a long time, but I think you know the answer to that.
It's the CIA reportedly created the word right after they murdered John F. Kennedy, the president of the United States.
So and that term has just been used and polyparroted throughout for decades, you know, 50 years or more.
And so I want to direct your attention again to the phrase in this letter by U.S. Congressman Bill Posey. Look at the screen. Has the Inspector General's office conducted a national security investigation on the CIA's connection, if any, with Smartmatic, Seidel, or any other company associated with election software or hardware? Why have they not received an answer, as I'm told today by Congressman Posey's office? Why have they received no answer? And by the way, let me show you this. These are all letters written by various members of Congress that I found today, printed out today, that are public for anyone to find, that are directed to the Attorney General, Attorney General Barr, the Chief Postal Inspector, who apparently says it's not his responsibility. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service works tirelessly to ensure the public trust in the mail. And, you know, basically it's not his area. Seems to be what we're getting here. No answer, really. Another one, the Attorney General and to various individuals within the government. Another one to Bill Barr. Many of these are signed by various members of Congress. I'm telling you right now, something stinks to high heavens, and I don't think a congressman asked that question on the screen right there, guys. I don't think a congressman will ask that question. Put it back up there. I don't think a congressman will ask that question unless he, too, is suspicious that the answer is this is what's going on. But when he doesn't get an answer and there is no investigation, why is he not getting an answer, and why has there not been an investigation? And you and I think I know the answer.
Well, right. And just to add a little more point to Congressman Posey's letter, I'll go back. I want to mention just one more time that we are, it's not only that we're concerned that Dominion's acquisition of Sequoia through some Smartmatic, but we're also concerned, election integrity people who have been around for years are concerned about this acquisition of the Diebold intellectual property, which they got at the same time through this merger with what was then Global. It was actually Diebold, and they called it Premier Election Service, which they just simply changed the name. It was still Diebold. And prior to that, it was Global Election Systems. And that we've always believed that Global had something called Fraction Magic, which was a vote rigging algorithm. In fact, Mike Lindell had Clint Curtis at Moment of Truth, and he's explained a lot about how such a vote rigging algorithm works and how he was asked to write one by former House Speaker of Florida, Tom Feeney. So all of this is not new, but it dates all the way back to there. One last thing to add there, all the way back it goes way back to 93, the largest shareholder of Diebold, who was also their top software guy, was indicted before he was hired on 23 counts of fraud and embezzlement in King County, Washington. You probably know this story well because it was in Black Box Voting in Beth Harris's book. But he was convicted on at least three of those counts. And then he was hired by then Global Election Systems, which wrote the intellectual property that Dominion owns today. So that is another aspect to the story. And it adds even more reason why Congressman Posey is correct that there should be a full investigation of the CIA's enrollment in elections. And fortunately, we now have the committee to do that, and that is the upcoming House committee that has just been formed, which I believe is being chaired by Jim Jordan. So maybe we'll get some interesting answers like the Church Committee did in 1975.
Indeed. Here's a letter dated November 18, 2020, signed by Bill Posey, Jeff Duncan, Louis Gohmert, Jody B. Heiss, members of U.S. Congress, asking the chief postal inspector about any investigation into the allegations by a Pennsylvania United States Postal Service whistleblower. The answer came back from him regarding your request for information concerning the investigation of allegations made by a United States Postal Service employee in Erie, Pennsylvania. Please be aware that the matter would be better addressed by the U.S. Postal Service Office of Investigator General. The USPS OIG is the independent agency charged with investigating allegations of United States Postal Service employee misconduct. In other words, I guess it's not his responsibility. Nobody seems to want to answer the questions. Everybody wants to pass the buck. Why does everyone seem scared? And by the way, I'm not suicidal. Are you, Garland?
No, in fact, once I went to testify and I put out on social media that if I don't turn up, I certainly, not only am I not suicidal, it's against my religion. I'm a Christian.
Exactly. But that wouldn't limit either one of us from falling over dead with a heart attack,
right?
Yeah, they spray something in your face while you walk by, and you're dead within minutes, no trace. You mean maybe like Breitbart? Just asking a question. Look at this article. 1963, limit CIA role to intelligence. Who is it written by? Harry S. Truman. 1963, after the murder of a sitting United States president, this ran. I believe it was in the Washington Post. It was later pulled. I don't think it was put out in the next edition of the Post. Really? And then they had to have try to have some kind of cover story that Truman recanted. No, there's a whole story behind this we could get into with Roger Stone and others. But a former president puts out a op-ed right after the murder of a sitting president, pretty telling. Here's what he wrote. Let me read it and have you respond. I think it has become necessary to take another look at the purpose and operations of our Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. At least I would like to submit here the original reason I thought it was necessary to organize this agency during my administration, what I expected it to do, and how it was to operate as an arm of the president. I think it's fairly obvious that, by and large, a president's performance in office is as effective as the information he has and the information he gets. That is to say, that assuming the president himself possesses a knowledge of our history, sensitive understanding of our institutions, and an insight into the needs and aspirations of the people, he needs to have available to him the most accurate and up-to-the-minute information on what is going on everywhere in the world, particularly on the trends and developments and all the danger spots in the contest between East and West. This is an immense task and requires a special kind of intelligence facility. Of course, every president has available to him all the information gathered by the many intelligence agencies already in existence. The Departments of State, Defense, Commerce, Interior, and others are constantly engaged in extensive information gathering and have done excellent work, but their collective information reach the president all too frequently in conflicting conclusions. At times, the intelligence reports tended to be slanted to conform to established positions of a given department. This becomes confusing. And what's worse, such intelligence is of little use to a president in reaching the right decision. Therefore, I decided to set up a special organization charged with the collection of all intelligence reports from every available source and to have those reports reach me as president without department, quote, treatment, end quote, or interpretations. I wanted and needed the information in its natural, raw state and in as comprehensive a volume as it was practical for me to make full use of it. But the most important thing about this move was to guard against the chance of intelligence being used to influence or to lead the president into unwise decisions. And I thought it was necessary that the president do his own thinking and evaluating. Since the responsibility for decision-making was his, then he had to be sure that no information is kept from him, for whatever reason, at the discretion of any one department or agency, or that unpleasant facts be kept from him. There are always those who would want to shield a president from bad news or misjudgments to spare him from being upset. For some time, I have been disturbed by the way the CIA has been diverted from its original assignment. It has become an operational and at times a policy-making arm of the government. This has led to trouble and may have compounded our difficulties in several explosive areas. The man, Harry S. Truman, who created the CIA, written after the assassination of President Kennedy 1 month. Your thoughts, Garland?
Well, as you said, he should know. He created it. That was 1947 when he was the he was then the president of the United States, and the forerunner of the CIA was OSS. But I think what he didn't quite get to and probably didn't want to put out to is that he explained pretty well that he had lost control of the agency. The president has lost control of it. And really, as I was saying earlier, the CIA is really an arm of Wall Street bankers. It's not actually representing Americans and the people. And they don't report to the president. They are their own shadow government, which is running many, many things, including many of the news media who continue to claim that there's no fraud and errors in the 2020 election. So hats off to Mike Lindell. You know, he's gone a long way to prove the CIA's involvement, whereby, you know, at the moment of truth, you showed that the hammer and scorecard were in fact real. You know, for the longest time, we had people, these media assets claiming that that was all made up. But the affidavits and things that y'all presented at moment of truth show that hammer and scorecard are real, and the fact that the CIA is involved in elections. I think y'all done a great job at proving that.
Thank you. Alan Dulles, former CIA director. He botched the Bay of Pigs, betrayed President John F. Kennedy. Kennedy said he was going to splinter the CIA and throw it into the wind into 1,000 pieces. He fires Dulles. Isn't it interesting? It's reported that Dulles ended up on the Warren Commission.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members of the Warren Commission. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. Appointed by then President Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson.
So a man that hated the president, apparently, was fired by the president. Former CIA director ends up being on the Warren Commission, apparently to protect the CIA and the truth from coming out. And of course, they wanted to bury the information, as they have continually, because they don't want the American people to know the truth, which I and many believe is the CIA knowingly was involved in some capacity in the murder of a sitting president. So what makes us think, if they got away with that in November of 1963, in November of 2020, they wouldn't be involved in the theft of a U.S. election against a sitting president?
Well, exactly. And with John F. Kennedy, it was a violent takeover. With President Donald Trump, it was a nonviolent takeover. It's easier to steal the election and get away with it than it is to assassinate a sitting American president. So the techniques and methods have changed slightly, but the ultimate objective was still achieved one way or the other.
So what do you think in conclusion? Then we're going to have you back tomorrow night to talk about what's breaking in Georgia, because we haven't even gotten to that yet. What do you think the intelligence community is making right now of all these questions that we are asking?
Well, I think that they don't believe that we have enough power to get the answers. I think that, however, they should have a little bit of fear from this new committee. If this new committee is basically going to do its job, and I'm pretty convinced that they're going to ask all the right questions and do their due diligence to get to the same truth that the church committee got to. Really, really grateful that that's going to happen. And I'm really grateful to all those 20 holdouts, those conservatives in the House that refused to vote for Speaker McCarthy until they got these kinds of concessions. And there was quite a few of them. There was quite a few good concessions, but there was no better concession than establishing that church-style committee that will investigate the weaponization of our intelligence committees and how they're used against American people and American candidates.
Indeed. All right, before we go, what is going on in Georgia? What was your recent press conference about? And we'll check with Mike, but I don't see a reason why we can't have you on his show tomorrow night, or I can get you on mine to go through the full presentation. Give us the Cliff Note version before we go off the air.
Okay, the Cliff Note version, Brandon, it's on slide 9, if Logan okay. can click that up. Actually, it's slide 8.
All right,
if Logan can pick that up. And we had two big announcements today. One of them is that VoterGA has subpoenaed the Conic servers in Los Angeles, California, that were seized by the LA County DA's office from Michigan. And we believe the servers obviously contain Georgia personal data, and those that data was in the hands of Chinese programmers on an internet backbone that was owned by the communist Chinese government.
Hmm.
Oh, the CIA media assets didn't tell you about that, did they?
No, and what is the likelihood the CIA has been basically co-opted by the CCP?
Well, if you look at it, what's interesting there, the CIA and the CCP's agenda seems to be exactly the same. So are very, very close or complementary.
Yeah.
So the other big announcement real quickly is that we are amending our lawsuit to ban ERIC in the state of Georgia, the Electronic Registration Information Center. And that was funded by George Soros in large part. And we'll talk all about that. Tomorrow, the next time I'm on the show.
All right. If we don't get you on Mike's show tomorrow, which I think we probably can, then I will get you on my show tomorrow night. But either way, we'll get part two from Garland Favorito, GeorgiaVA.org. Georgia, is that right? GeorgiaVA. VoterGA. VoterGA.org. Am I still getting it wrong?
That's it. VoterGA.org, nonpartisan, nonprofit, 501c3. I'm a volunteer. Don't take a salary.
There you go. VoterGA.org. Thank you, Garland.
Thank you, Brandon, for having me. Great show.
Thank you. Great show indeed. Hey, and if you appreciate all we're doing here, don't forget about MyPillow 2.0 is out. I have one. I actually have two. No, I have more than two. I have two just for me, but I have some. I have one coming for my wife, one coming for Logan, one coming for my daughter. Everybody's getting the MyPillow 2.0. It's on its way, and you should get one too. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code L77. You get savings, and you're supporting the work of Mike Lindell and his program and this network. MyPillow.com. MyPillow 2.0 is out. I guess thousands were sold in the first day alone. Here's your chance to order yours. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code L77. L77. On my show tonight, I am going to have on Michael Patrick Leahy about the Memphis murder by the five cops that have been charged. Colonel John Mills. Well, you don't want to miss that. Todd Bensman on the invasion now from the north. And Daniel Greenfield. That's all on Brandon House Live. But first, the Worldview Report. Thanks for watching. Take care. And don't forget, watch Mike Lindell tonight on Jimmy Kimmel. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.
Welcome to the MyPillow 2.0 commercial. Miss makeup.